Sudden oak death, for people that don't even know what it is at all, it's a pathogen that we think has been around since the 80s. It's an invasive, which means it's not from around here, probably came in from the nursery trade. And it is killing 5 species of trees that are really important to our ecosystems. 4 of those are oaks and 1 is tan oak, as you said. And so this hit, it's really changing the landscape, because oaks are keystone species, and if we lose those, then everything gets affected. It also infects over 100 other species, but it doesn't kill them. It's this complicated life cycle. So California bay laurel, for example, it gets infected, it has leaf symptoms, but it doesn't die. What it does is it actually creates the type of spore that then infects your oaks and your tan oaks. So they're a really important part of this system as well.
Can you tell us what specific oaks are attacked by this?
Sure. So the oaks that are most famous for being killed by this pathogen are coast live oaks. But it also, it can kill black oaks, so California black oaks, Shreve's oak, and canyon live oak.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
So are there oaks that are immune to this?
Yeah, actually the white oaks cannot succumb to this pathogen. Really, it's only those 4 that they've seen in nature to actually be killed.
So valley oaks are...
Right, yeah. Valley oaks are not a concern in nature.
So we see this, it seems, predominantly more in the westerly part of the counties of Marin and Sonoma. Would you, or no, is it as frequently inland into Glenelg?
Well, I have this fancy little map here from last year. I wish your listeners could see it. But if you go online, this map is publicly available on sodblitz.org. And that's Dr. Garbolato's website that you mentioned earlier. So, looking at this map, you can see all those red trees are actually positives, and it does take place all over the county. Now, it is really specific to certain environmental conditions, right? So it's going to appear in those areas, but we have a various landscape around here, so it can take place all over. And that's one thing that's really important about these blitzes, is finding those new pockets of infestation that maybe we didn't know about before because people assumed it couldn't get there.
Was it better during the drought? Were there less outbreaks? And now with these rainy past couple of years, is it worse?
Yeah, it really did change, and it got less over those several years. People started not paying attention to it as much. Feels like there wasn't quite as much funding for it, right? It just was, there were other things that were important to people. That first year that we got a ton of rain, it popped up so strongly that in certain areas of Sonoma County, it was 10 times bigger than it was 2 years previously in 2 seasons.
Let's
right?
take a call from Mitch, and then we'll take some email calls. And we'll also tell you where you can attend the Sudden Oak Death Blitz seminars. And they're free? Is that?
They are. They're absolutely free to the public. 2 of those are docent-led events, so you'll actually get to be with people on a hike looking at things. And the other 4 are 1-hour meetings that empower you to go out and sample on your own.
Okay. Mitch, good morning, and welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. What can we do for you today? Hi, Mitch.
Good morning. Happy Easter over, and thank you for your show. Steve, I have a Lavelle on a snow queen on Lavelle that's about 4.5 feet tall, and much to my chagrin, it has peach leaf curl. There's a little bit of fruit on it, but it's a young tree.
Hey, Mitch.
Yeah, you're breaking up pretty badly. You said you have peach leaf curl. I don't think you're hearing us. What tree is this on exactly?
It's on a snow queen on Lavelle. It was a graft that I bought at the Scion thing.
All right, so you have peach leaf curl. That's the issue?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, so your question is then what to do about it?
Right, but I don't think spraying it is the right thing to do now.
Right, that should have been done in the wintertime, Mitch, after you've pruned the tree, and then before the buds start to show any color. So, unfortunately, there's nothing you can do now. A lot of people just pick the affected flower, the leaves off, and then they'll send out another second set of leaves. But just keep the tree damp. Make sure that you don't overwater it or don't underwater it. Put mulch around the ground, so make sure that the soil water, you know, stays in for a longer amount of time. And then next year, you'll really have to be on top of the spraying.
Well, I'll do that. And then one last question. I don't know if you guys know what the fish said when he hit the wall. He said, damn.
Thanks, Mitch.
Bye, guys. You missed your calling. You should have been at comedy night in San Francisco. That's very good. Why don't we grab one more call? Maureen would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Welcome, Maureen. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
I would like to know, when is it a good time, or how can you tell when you should pull beets? These are called touch tone gold.
Okay. Usually you can see the tops of the beets, you know, where just where they're trying to come out of the soil, you know, where the leaves meet the beet. Sometimes
you can see them
that they're getting wider and wider and wider, and they look like a nice size. Then you can go ahead and pull them, and you'll have some nice beets to eat. But if you don't see anything, you can wait. And if the leaves, if there's just a few leaves, or the leaves there, you know, there's just, they're small and they're not really a nice, good size clump of leaves, chances are they're not ready. If you want, you could just use your finger and move some soil away from where the leaves are going into the ground there and see what the beet looks like. And then that'll tell you if there's anything that you can pull or not. So you might have to be patient. They'll take about 65 to 75 so days in order to be mature.
Yes, because the little sticker said 45 to 60 days, it's taking a while.
Yeah, well, our weather has been inconsistent, and it's probably been a little bit cooler for the beets to germinate, and then when it's cooler than what they want, they'll take a longer time to grow. If you follow what I just suggested, then you'll pick the beets at the right time.
Okay, I will. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
I've
got to get my seeds in the ground.
Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO, depend on it.
Do you ever imagine bringing the indoors outdoors?
Hi, I'm David from Sonoma County Sunrooms and Patio Covers. Thinking about redoing your patio this summer? Why not add a louvered roof?
David, what is a louvered roof?
A louvered roof is a covered patio that you control. Whether you want shelter or shade, a smart remote directs the natural lighting and temperature of your patio through the louvered roof from Structure. Business owners, architects, and patrons love this product as it complements countless commercial outdoor projects such as restaurants, tasting rooms, and beer gardens. Let Sonoma County Sunrooms and Patio Covers bring this product to your backyard or business. Our design team is able to work with you to stay within a budget everybody is comfortable with.
Want a louvered roof system that expands into your backyard? Create an outdoor living space like no other and make your backyard your new favorite room.
Visit SoCoSun.com or their showroom on Santa Rosa Avenue, just north of Todd Road. They're offering a free drop screen upgrade for a limited time. SoCoSun. Design. Installations. Remodeling.
Cannabis is legal in California and has become the most rigorously tested agricultural product on the planet. Can I Help You? A cannabis talk show is brought to you by Mercy Wellness, a leading local cannabis retailer. Joe Sullivan is the leading cannabis expert at Mercy Wellness.
It's taken me years to learn how to find the best products for Mercy customers. I'm dedicated to them and getting only the best I can find. Many of the products I like and that I buy for Mercy customers are created by people who had a powerful need themselves. Maybe a family member or friend had cancer or another illness, and they were compelled to help them, so they develop a product to help. I constantly ask, what do our customers want? And then I go and find the best products on the market.
Tune in to Mercy's Can I Help You every other Friday from noon to 12:30 on KSRO. And hear stories from the cannabis frontier.
Enjoy yourself while you're still in the game. Years go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself.
Splash Full Service Car Wash Grand Opening, Take 3.
Heavens to Murgatroyd! Now Cotati has its own new Splash Car Wash. And this one is even more plenitudinal.
There's no such word, John.
Well, I mean, this Splash Car Wash is a full-service car wash. Our team does it all for you. We meticulously hand-wash your vehicle wheels and tires, scrub and slather your dashboard, professionally vacuum your innards, clean up door jams, floorboards, nooks and crannies. Oh, it's so much more than just another quickie.
Watch yourself.
Go ahead, Cotati. Sink into the soft, cushy sofas in our newly remodeled customer lounge while we're hard at work scrubbing and buffing your sweet ride. And prices start at just $19.
That can't be right. Just $19?
Just 19 bucks, Baltimore. 19 buckaroos.
The new Splash Express is on Commerce Boulevard in Cotati, between Mi Pueblo and Mi Ranchito restaurants.
Ole!
Splash Car Wash, now on Commerce Boulevard in Cotati.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
We are talking sudden oak death this morning. I know it's not a pleasant talk for Passover and Easter, but it needs to be talked about because the blitzes are coming up next week and we want to make sure you know about it. Carrie Winninger is with us. She's the sudden oak death outreach coordinator at our UC Cooperative Extension here in Sonoma County. 636-1350 if you'd like to talk with Carrie or any general gardening questions. Gwen Kilcher, the master encyclopedic knowledge, is here, and she would love to help you with any gardening questions you might have. Janet Fletcher joining Chef John Ash today in the KSRO kitchen on the Good Food Hour. Her new book is Wine Country Table, with recipes that celebrate California's sustainable harvest. She traversed up and down all throughout California, talking with some of the greatest farmers, growers, and winemakers, and the results are all in this beautiful, beautiful hardback book. One of you will win an autographed copy of this book, just out about a month and a half ago. Janet is the go-to person for all things cheese. She wrote for years in the Chronicle, has her own Planet Cheese blog. She's the author of 29 other cookbooks, cooks and teaches all throughout the United States on cheese matters. And she'll be live in the KSRO kitchen today. So let's back up about sudden oak death. This seminar, what will it allow the homeowner, the non-professional, to do that they could not have done before?
Sure. So the power in this is that you can get your trees, and I need to be specific here, your California Bay Laurel trees or your tan oak trees, you can get those leaves tested for free. And that's really powerful, because otherwise, if you wanted to do that, you would need to send it away to a lab, and it would cost somewhere between $50 to $100 for each tree. But using the Blitz, you can test as many of your trees as you can get to that weekend, and all of them are tested for free. And the reason that it's important to test tan oak and bay trees, again, is because that is what carries the pathogen to your oaks. And some people get confused about, why are we not just testing the oaks? Well, there's a few reasons. One, it's more difficult. But most importantly, once an oak has the disease, you can't do anything about that particular tree. So if you test the bay tree and you say, oh, my bay's infected, but my oak looks healthy still, you still have time to do something about it.
And what would you do?
There's multiple treatments that you can consider, but the one that has the most scientific validation behind it is actually removing infected bay trees. And that's always possible, right? They could be too big. It could be on a slope. And so there's also other treatments you can do. One way is there are certain either bark application sprays or injections you can give to your oak trees. And you wouldn't be able to do this on a landscape level. But if you're a homeowner and you have a few choice trees, this would be an alternative for you to consider.
And what will that do?
It basically just
slows it down.
No, it's only for if the tree is uninfected, and
it's a preventative.
Yeah, once the pathogen reaches that tree, it's much less likely to take hold.
And it's something called pentabark. I remember we talked.
That's one of the brands.
Agrifos.
Yeah,
and you have to spray the whole lower trunk of the tree. It's a lot involved.
You either have to cover the entire bark with it, or you can put these injections that look like a halo around the bark, and it does have to be done once every 2 years. Okay. There's other ways to amend the soil as well with gypsum that can increase the effectiveness of these sprays or injections. So that's another thing. But really, the bay laurel, how close a bay is to your oak tree is the number one predictor of if your oak is going to get infected or not. So they have very clear guidelines if you visit sodblitz.org about how far away a tree is how far away your bay and your oak are and how big your oak is and what radius you should make to clear the bays.
Okay.
And so plus, go ahead. And how healthy the oak trees are too, because a lot of times you've seen these native oaks and then landscapes and homes are built around them. Mm-hmm. So now you have lawns and plants that need watering, which affect the health of the oak trees. Mm-hmm. So stop watering around the oaks and get your tree as healthy as possible to be able to fight off the disease better. Would that help?
I can't see that that would hurt. Mm-hmm. And you do want to make sure your tree's uninfected before you go to all these this great lengths, because some people still think that if you see beetle damage in your oak tree after you've seen this bleeding canker, that I need to go kill the insects. Mm-hmm. But that has nothing to do with it. At that point, mm-hmm. the tree's already gone.
From Camp Meeker, Barbara, welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. What can we do for you? Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I'm starting to notice some mold or black spot or whatever you call it on my roses, and I wondered what I could spray on there to try to get ahead of it a little bit or catch it.
You're seeing black spots, maybe?
Well, I don't think it's spots. It's kind of, it kind of takes over the whole leaf, and then the leaf droops and dies back and spreads around, all around the leaves on the roses.
Is it something that you can wipe off with your fingers, or is it in the leaf itself?
I haven't tried wiping it off. I think it's in the leaf itself.
Hmm. I'm not sure what that would be, but, go ahead.
I have it every year, but I'm just so sick of it, because once the leaf dies, then there's these dead branches.
Okay. I'm not sure what that would be, but it doesn't sound good. If I were you, I would just remove the rose bush. There are no products out there that are not going to harm our bees and beneficial insects and butterflies and hummingbirds and everybody. And then there's also 99% of the products that you buy, you need to start spraying as a preventative to obviously prevent this disease issue from starting. And so you're already past that point. And you have to keep on spraying. So,
let me ask you this. Do you get any roses?
Yeah, good question.
Yes. Sometimes after the leaves die, I get some roses.
Well,
because I continue to water them. What about oil or something like that?
Nope. Everything is too late. Too late. And we need to know exactly what the disease is to be able to tell you what to spray it with. But how about if you just pick off all the leaves that are affected? Make sure you don't do any overhead watering on your roses. It'll probably just die a slow death at some point. Sometimes we just keep, wanting to do something with these plants to keep them going. High maintenance roses, and all the money that you're going to spend on fertilizers and sprays, and that will not be effective. So just pull out that rose and plant something that's a little bit more susceptible. Maybe if you could send us a picture, send us a photo, and so I can see exactly what this looks like. It could be downy mildew too. This is one of the diseases that causes the rose to have a slow death.
Yeah, I mean, if you can take a couple photos of your cell phone and just send them to steve@ksro.com, it would be a lot easier to diagnose what exactly you have.
And then I could really tell you, keep it or get rid of it.
Well, I've noticed in the past it usually comes when we have these late rains.
Mm-hmm. A lot of diseases. Yeah, a lot of the rose diseases come after the rains. Perfect growing environment for them. Warm weather, dampness, boom, here come the diseases. So it could be black spot, it could be downy mildew. So, and both of those are extremely difficult to take care of. So if you can send us a photo, otherwise keep picking off all the leaves and keep it until the rose finally peters out on you.
I will.
What variety is this? You know who it is?
Oh, I can't remember. Some of them are pretty old. I have an Audrey Hepburn.
Okay.
And she that rose doesn't get this disease as bad as some of the others. I have one that's called Baby's Blanket that I've had. My daughter got me in 2003.
Okay, so this rose that's infected here, the problem, is it a hybrid tea fragrant rose?
Oh, gee, I don't know.
Is it a fragrant flower?
some are fragrant, some of them are not.
No, that particular rose, well, some of the flowers are on that plant.
What?
Or fragrant, what is what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Oh, how funny. Okay, well, I'm going to assume it's a fragrant hybrid tea, and you show those roses a picture of disease, and they get it. So I don't know what to tell you other than either pull it out or just keep pulling the leaves off of it and keep it watered and enjoy it while it's alive.
But if you have time, yeah, shoot a couple photos and send them to us, okay?
I will.
Okay?
I will.
All right.
All right.
Thanks,
Thank
Barbara.
Thank you very much.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Barbara. Good talking with you. So, Carrie, when we go to one of the sod blitz, you said we can get testing done for free. What do we need to bring with us?
You just need to bring yourself. We will give you all the materials. In fact, I brought an example here of the packet you'll receive. There are a couple blitzes that you need to do some preparation ahead of time, but anyone who registers will send you an email with what to do. For example, most of the blitzes we show a short video, and it explains a lot. And it also helps you download an app called Sod Map Mobile, which can tell you where the disease is in your area, literally based on your location service on your phone. And so if you're in a location, if you're at one of the blitz locations that doesn't have electricity, say at our new, we're doing Sonoma Valley Regional Park for the first time this year, and we don't have any way to show a video. So for people that are attending that blitz, we're going to send you an email in advance, give you a link to this video, give you a link to download the app so you can do it ahead of time. But most people, you just show up and you learn it there.
Mm-hmm. So we don't need to bring anything with us?
Nope, just yourselves and a good attitude to try and help stop sod.
A good attitude goes a long way in life. Yeah.
And can I say one thing that's actually might be positive? So, because this is such a sad topic, everyone gets depressed, right? And so I have to start with something sad, but then I'll give you hope. So one of the reasons that we're really interested in getting a lot of people out this year isn't just because we've had a wet winter and the right temperature for something to maybe take off, but there is a new strain of the pathogen that's been found in Oregon. It's called EU1 from Europe, stands for EU, and it has not, as far as we know, made it to California. We are, for the first time, as part of the sod blitzes, every single tree that gets tested as part of a sod blitz will also get tested specifically for that strain. Mm-hmm. And so even if you've done a sod blitz before, and you know your tree's positive, you don't know if it has EU1. And we are at such an early stage of this new strain's potential infection that we might actually be able to stop it. Mm-hmm. If we'd done this earlier with the other strain that's already here, things could look different now. So we're really at this precipice where if we can get a hold on this strain, we have a chance to stop things from getting worse. And this strain really is a lot worse. It's more virulent. It's resistant to phosphites, and it's a different mating type, which means evolution can happen a lot quicker if this gets here.
More information after this break, 636-1350. If you have general gardening questions, we will tackle those. Shoot us a photo if you'd like to via email with a question, steve@ksro.com or 636-1350. Nobody on hold at this moment. And Carrie Winninger is with us, the Sudden Oak Death Outreach Coordinator at the UC Cooperative Extension here in Sonoma County. You can direct any questions about this to her, and we'll make sure you know the dates when you can attend this year's Sudden Oak Death Blitz seminars.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market. Find a wide selection of garden starts, savor farm fresh eggs and produce like fresh strawberries, avocados, and asparagus. Enjoy farm-to-table almonds, walnuts, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. Multiple food vendors are serving up an excellent breakfast and lunch using farm fresh products. Minhee's Korean Cuisine, The Green Grocer, Mi Fiesta's Fresh Tamales, and a whole lot more. Santa Rosa's original farmers market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County. and it starts at a Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, Botanical Artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team has won first place 14 years in a row at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers. And our garden, Coastal Charisma, won Best of Show 2018.
The nursery is ready for spring. There's spring color, bulbs, ferns, succulents, and houseplants all bursting with spring growth. Spruce up the yard or the house with flowers for Easter. Easter lilies and calla lilies are in stock now. Planning to landscape this spring or need a design for a rebuild? Ask Daniel about his design services and packages.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
I don't know about you, but I often worry about my parents and how they are coping these days. I love them dearly, but it's simply become too difficult to care for them at home. I am concerned about them falling, eating 3 square meals a day, taking their meds, and frankly, about becoming too isolated. That's why I'm so happy that I visited Springfield Place in Petaluma. At Springfield, I was greeted by a vibrant and caring staff that felt like family. And now through the end of April, this great community is offering a discount of $500 off per month for a total of $2,500 off for the first 5 months of residency. My parents are so much happier now that they have settled in. They still have lots of independence. I no longer worry because I know they're having five-star fun, eating healthy, exercising, and enjoying social events like live music and dancing.
Go to leisurecare.com or call 707-769-3300.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Some morning clouds, but afternoon sun, high 69, 57 along the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 47, 46 on the shores. For Sunday, blue skies at 76, 63 in Bodega Bay. Then Monday, blue skies topping out at 83, 68 along the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Graton Resort and Casino is now hiring.
Every day I get to go into my job and see my second family.
Visit GraytonResortCasino.com for all of our available positions.
So the most important thing to talk about during this half hour is the website so that you can go directly and register for these upcoming seminars, right, Carrie?
Correct.
So what is the website?
All right. It is ucanr.edu/sodblitz2019.
Can they make it any more difficult? I'm sorry.
Oh, I know. UCANR stands for UC Agriculture Natural Resources. So we always have that beginning. UCANR.edu/sodblitz2019. I think that part's easy.
Mm-hmm.
/sodblitz2019.
I'm sure if you just typed in sodblitz 2019, it'll take you.
Yeah, Sonoma.
Can we do that? Can we go to Google and type in SodBlitz 2019?
I wonder if we've made it for that high up on the list of Google, right?
Well,
you can also find things on sodblitz.org. It just lists every single blitz in California, so you'll have to search for Sonoma
County.
All right,
people can do that. ucanr.edu/sodblitz2019.
Yeah, that'll take you right
and
there.
And that's to register for any of the upcoming SodBlitzes, Thursday, April 25th in Petaluma, Saturday on the April 27th in Santa Rosa, Sebastopol, Sonoma Valley, and Yorkville, and the 28th in Pen Grove, Sunday. Those are the big ones, right?
Yes, six from us.
636-1350 if you want to reach us with a question, or steve@ksro.com. From out in Casadero, Kathy, welcome to the show. What can we do for you this morning on Garden Talk?
Thank you. I have a question about the sudden oak, and I have 40 acres of trees, so there's no way to, like, test all the trees. I find that basically it's the tan oak that is dying. I have live oak and a couple others. Is it just the tan oak that's affected?
So, great question. So, there are 5 species of trees that we know that die from this disease, and one of those is tan oak. Now, there's only 1 species of tree that we know of that both creates the spore that can infect a tree to kill it and passes it on. So tan oak is that one tree. Mm. Not only does it sporulate on its leaves, it also dies. So it can literally give it to itself or its neighbors. So tan oak areas really can be decimated. And I'm sorry to hear that. Do you have coastline? You said you have coast live oak as well?
Yes.
And you're seeing it more on your tan oaks, I hear.
Right. I don't see it on the live oak.
So now, far. So
one thing that's interesting, I know you have a lot of land, and so it may seem difficult to test, but it is, have you heard of the blitzes before? Is this your first time interacting with them?
This is my first time.
Okay.
I have talked to people in the past about it, and I put my area on some website to show that I have it.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know what website that was, though.
Well, I was going to refer you to an app on your phone. I know that sounds really high-tech, but it's actually very, very simple. It's called Sod Map Mobile, and it's in the App Store, and if you get that app, literally, you just hit a button that says risk, and you are standing next to your tree or on your property, and it will tell you the likelihood that your trees, what the risk is for your trees to get sudden oak death. And it's based on all the GPS points everyone has taken for the sod blitz. And you'll see if you use that app that it goes by a number of hundreds of yards or kilometers. So you can actually get a good idea just by testing a few of your trees. You don't have to go out to those whole 40 acres, but if you can even go get 5 of your trees, 10 of your trees, that'll still really help that app become more effective, and it'll also still really give you some good information, because we do have ways of telling how widespread this is based on, of course, a smaller sample size.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate the information.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you. 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. What's next on your list, Carrie?
Oh, I wanted to tell people about a few things that are new this year. So this is the 10th year of the sod blitzes. It's, you know, we've been around for a while, but there's always new stuff. So one thing that I'm really excited about, we've had a collaboration with Sonoma State University's Center for Environmental Inquiry for the last 3-4 years, and we've been testing on 2 of their preserves. So one of them is the Galbraith Wildlands Preserve, and that's in outside of Yorkville in Mendocino, and the other is Fairfield Osborne Preserve in Pengrove on Sonoma Mountain. Mm-hmm. And actually, Sonoma Mountain at that preserve is where sudden oak death was first discovered in the county. So it's been there a really long time, and it's a really important place to study because it has this history. Mm-hmm. But it hadn't been part of blitzes before. So last year was the first time an official sod blitz took place there. And this year is the first time that any blitz in the state is going to be bilingual. So we will actually have a Spanish-speaking group. We'll have a translation of the video. We'll have all the materials translated. So we really want to include people that haven't historically been a part of this process. Mm-hmm. So that Fairfield Osborne Preserve Blitz on Sunday the 28th, that will be a bilingual event.
Excellent. Wow.
Next.
Another exciting thing this year. So some people, like I mentioned earlier, they just want to test their oak tree. They mm-hmm. might not want to know if their bay is infected, which I will encourage you to go get your bays tested. Those are really important. But there is now a way to test oak trees. It's something you've been able to do for a long time with the help of an arborist. But that arborist or tree care professional or government worker would have a pretty complicated and costly process they had to go through. Now, Dr. Garbolato's lab at UC Berkeley has come up with a program called Oak Step. It basically makes this process a lot easier and streamlined and cheaper for your tree care professional. So if you want to get your oak tested, you still do have to contact a tree care professional to do it, but will only cost them a sign-up fee, one time only, $200, and then $100 per tree, instead of $1,000 that it used to be approximately per tree.
Yeah.
And one reason I think these are really important to announce now is that they're offering that if an arborist attends a sudden oak death blitz event, that $200 sign-up fee is waived. They really want people to get involved in this, and so they're giving that incentive.
Next. Wonderful.
Well, you know I have a lot to talk about, don't you,
Steve? And then we're going to take a couple calls. So, Andrew and Fran, your calls are coming up next.
Fantastic. So, one thing I mentioned is that when we have dry weather, people get less excited about this. They stop thinking about it. Other things are going on. Mm-hmm. But lots of people are actually taking action. Californians really care about their oaks. They're really concerned about sod. And they invest a lot of time and money to survey and control it. But we don't know about what that is. So this year during the Blitz, there'll be a survey where you can report on what you've done. We'll compile that information and make a database, and that will be used to help draft bills, perfect treatment options for all Californians, and try and procure more funds for research regarding sudden oak death treatments.
Fantastic.
Remember, the website to sign up for the seminars is ucanr.edu/sodblitz2019. Calling from beautiful Windsor, California, Fran would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi, Fran.
Hi. I received a gardenia bush this week as a gift, and it's called a mystery gardenia. It's supposed to take a lot of sun. And my question is, how should I prepare the soil for this?
If I were you, I would get a nice size pot. I would put some acidic planting mix in it, and then water your mystery gardenia plant, water the soil, and then transplant it into that pot and put it someplace where it'll get some filtered sunlight, dappled shade or whatnot, or even some direct shade in the late afternoon. Even though it does take a lot of sun, it really doesn't take a lot of sun here in our area where there's no humidity and cloud cover and whatnot that they have in the Midwest and the East Coast. So they like an acidic soil. They like acid fertilizer. They don't like a lot of water. You really have to watch the soil, keep it like the soil like a wrung out sponge, and enjoy it someplace where you can, when the flowers open up, you can smell them and enjoy their fragrance. I wouldn't put it in the ground because a lot of times the soil is not acidic enough. It's probably clay kind of soil or even too sandy. So the soil mix that you buy at the nursery would be the perfect growing medium for the gardenias.
Soil mix at the nursery. Okay, the other question
acid loving. Make sure it's like for azaleas, camellias, and gardenias.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Thank you. The other question, I'm looking for white iris. I can't seem to find them. And in Rincon Valley, there used to be a lady who had lots of iris, but I think their place burned down. So where do you think I might find white iris?
Bearded iris?
Yes.
Hmm.
I checked it at several nurseries and no luck.
My neighbor's growing some white bearded irises. Dang, I don't know. I remember that iris place that you're talking about in Rincon Valley. I think they even closed down. There was a place way up towards Healdsburg.
Cads. Dave Cadd, C-A-D-D.
Is he still? No, they're not around. No,
he closed down several years ago. He had every iris known to man.
Yeah, you know, wait a minute. The garden center, the Luther Burbank Garden Center on Yalupa, they have rows and rows of bearded irises out there. Talk to the Santa Rosa Garden Club ladies. And they're going to be having their plant sale, if it hasn't already happened, and that's where you could go.
That's a great tip. Well, I appreciate that so much. Thank you so much for taking my call, and always nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Fran.
Well, you made her day, didn't you?
Yeah, well, last minute I remembered them.
That's what we call her, make your day Gwen. We'll be right back after this. And Andrew, your call is coming up. Don't go away.
Loose ball to Thompson. Throw ahead, KD.
I have nothing to do with the Knicks.
One step and a right hand dunk for Durant and a timeout.
KSRO.
Where can you find dozens of businesses in one place ready to give you free gifts, samples of their food, and enter you to win great prizes all in one afternoon? It's at the Roanoke Park Chamber of Commerce Business Showcase, Wednesday, April 24th at the Callanan Sports and Fitness Center in Roanoke Park. It's free to attend and open to the public from 5 to 7 p.m.
Find out what's happening in the city of Roanoke Park. Enjoy tasty bites from Bear Republic, Mary's Pizza, Sam's Mediterranean Deli and Cafe, Honey Badger Coffee, Red Lobster, Chick-fil-A, and Sally Tomatoes. Sample sweets from Swirl Time, your sweet expectations, and Shari's. Visit with businesses new and old, all wanting to meet you, from skincare to health, banking to martial arts.
That's the Rohnert Park Chamber of Commerce Business Showcase, Wednesday, April 24th, Callanan Sports and Fitness Center in Rohnert Park from 5 to 7. Free to attend and families are welcome.
More info at rohnertparkchamber.org.
Gravenstein Grill in Sebastopol has partnered with local farms, ranches, and wineries to bring responsibly sourced creative dishes to beautiful West Sonoma County. Gravenstein Grill's chef Simon Taki welcomes you to the grill's large garden patios, lively bar, and elegant dining room, which are the perfect setting to experience the best dining in the county. In addition to world-class food, Gravenstein Grill also boasts a craft cocktail bar and an extensive wine list. Gravenstein Grill has been named best in Sonoma County in the Bohemian 2019 and the best pick of the Russian River and the Sonoma coast. Gravenstein Grill is wine country cuisine at its finest, open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Reservations are suggested. Come by 8050 Bodega Avenue in Sebastopol or call 707-634-6142 online at gravensteingrill.com. That's gravensteingrill.com for the wine country's best dining experience.
We believe that Wine Country has some of the best cuisine in the world, and one of the best places to enjoy this unique, outstanding food is Gravenstein Grill in Sebastopol. Chef Bob Simontaki has deep roots in Northern California and brings his love of the region and its cuisine to the dinner table. Get a $100 Gravenstein Grill gift card for only $50 now, only at MySonomaDeals.com. Find the best deals in Sonoma County at MySonomaDeals.com.
Start your career as a full-time bartender or beverage server at Grayton. Meet Sergio from 630 Park Steakhouse.
One of the things that I believe is very important is stability. We offer not only full-time, but the benefit package is ridiculously good.
Enroll in our free bartender school today. Earn great pay plus tips in a fast-paced and fun environment. Visit GraytonResortCasino.com for details.
Time to take a few more calls at 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO.com. We'll try to get to several of the email questions before the hour is up. At 11:05, it's Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen. We welcome Janet Fletcher, whose new book is Wine Country Table with recipes that celebrate California's sustainable harvest. She is truly an encyclopedic chef and cheesemonger, knows a lot about cheese, wrote for the Chronicle for years, and has her own blog called Planet Cheese. Janet Fletcher, live with Chef John Ash on the Good Food Hour this morning. Andrew, what can we do for you on Garden Talk this morning? Hi.
Hi. This week, my wife went out and bought 12 of those 4-inch pots of varied tomatoes to restart our garden for this coming summer. They almost all say plant in full sunlight. What we've got is above the ground pots and 12-inch by 3-foot wide potting containers. And my question becomes, how do you know how much water to give them? Because last year in the summer sun, they wilted in the morning or at the end of the day, and we gave them water, but I think we may have overwatered, but I don't know. How do you tell how much water they should be getting on a daily basis?
What kind of material are these pots made out of? Wood, plastic,
clay,
what?
Clay, plastic.
Okay. I would get saucers. Get saucers for everybody so when you put water in the soil and it starts to run out and it fills up in the bottom of the saucer, wait a half an hour or so and then come back and see if that water has disappeared, that the soil has sucked it back up. Then that's telling you that the soil needs more water. So go ahead and give it another drink. Wait for the water to settle in the saucer. Come back later on. See if it's sucked it up or not. If not, and the water is sitting there in the saucer, you can go ahead and dump it out. You might have to get a turkey baster if you can't move the pot over and, you know, get the water out, because you don't want that saucer filled with water all the time, because then that's telling you that the soil is too wet for too long and your tomatoes are going to get root rot and then they die. So, and if your tomato plants are wilting, during the hot part of the day, that's telling you that a lot of the soil is not wet and the root system's a bit dry, and so it's wilting. So you can get a moisture meter and stick it down into the root bowl of the plant, and it'll tell you whether it's dry, moist, or wet.
If I use an automatic drip system with those 0.5-gallon emitters near the base of every single plant, is there an approximate amount of water they should be getting on a daily basis if I use that rather than a cup of water or something like that?
It's hard to tell because everybody's growing conditions are different. The soil that you use is different. The pots, the size of the pots, how much soil. So I would put a couple emitters in the pot. I just wouldn't put one. So that way, you know, the whole soil will get wet instead of just one little spot. Okay? So then maybe the water goes straight down. So one side of the soil is wet and the other side is dry.
And that will suffice for the plant based on the plant.
Yeah, and then you're going to have to keep it on until you see water filling up in that saucer. And then shut it off and then see if the water gets absorbed into the soil. And there you go. So it's a challenge, but once you do it, you'll know what to do.
And there's your answer, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You too.
My pleasure. A great call to end on. Remember the website, ucanr.edu/sodblitz2019. Carrie, thank you so much for this hour. It was great.
Oh, it's been so fun. Thanks for having me on.
And all the information can be accessed at that website, right? People can sign up for the upcoming Sod Blitz.
Yes, and they can always email me for questions, which is also on that site.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so if you go to that ucanr.edu/sodblitz2019, my name, Carrie Winninger, is listed there with my email address, and I'm happy to answer anyone's question that way personally.
Fantastic. Gwen, we will see you next week.
Yes, you will. Okay, bye.